How would you like to be able to create wealth from multiple income streams with low investment? We have Mark Walker today who will tell us how, and he's a multi-business owner, investor, and mentor. So, Mark, tell us, how can entrepreneurs start creating wealth from multiple income streams with low investment? Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, Lily, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. I'm super excited to be here. I've just got back from the Caribbean, everybody, 3 weeks away on our annual cruise. Everybody should come on that for a start. Why? Because you get to meet other people who are global entrepreneurs. They're also making money, lots of money, from low investment strategies. The first thing to say is I hope your podcasters get massive value from what I have to say. And if they want to connect with me afterwards, because this is not a sales pitch, I have nothing to offer other than 38 years worth of business building advice, then they're more than welcome to do so on any of the links that'll be shared after the podcast. The first thing I would say is that an individual really needs to focus on their mindset. I know it's something that we hear about all the time, but if you don't focus on your mindset and you don't focus on having a mentor in your life that's been there, seen it, and done it, you can kind of get confused. And in fact, nowadays with AI technology and all the strategies that are put out there by individuals, there is such a myriad of noise and fluff and hype that's out there. You really need to mix with the individuals who are doing what they're doing day to day. That's the first thing somebody has to do. Covering wealth creation strategies is very simple when you work with the right people. You can either invest in a mentor and cut kind of 5 years of learning out and save 5 years of your life, or you can kind of try and struggle for the next 5 years to learn the things that people are doing to make money now. So happy to delve into a couple of different strategies. You lead the way, I'll answer the questions. But for everyone tuning in, they really need to work on themselves first and find somebody who they want to emulate. Not be the same, as we're all individual personalities. I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I am someone's cup of tea if they want to make six figures in the next 12 months for a start.
Thank you. What's the blueprint for someone to create wealth from multiple income streams? Like, what are the steps to do that?
Sure, well, the first thing to remember is you don't need a lot of money in today's world to make a lot of money. The days of being able to bank huge amounts of money to start with in order to invest are kind of gone. Like, we all have one of these, you know, wonderful smartphones nowadays, and we're all in a position to take a smartphone, buy a domain name, set up a website, use free AI technology to write the script, and before you know it, within an hour, you can have a website up and running. The thing to remember, the blueprint is you have to have a product or service that somebody needs. You're not going to sell something to somebody if they don't need it, whether it's a product or a service. Very similar to individuals that write lots of books. Books nowadays are kind of like the business card of the 21st century. Writing a book is not going to make you uber famous. It's not going to make you uber rich. There are lots of different ways, including your amazing podcast here and also video blogs or vlogs that people also operate on YouTube and other platforms, of course, in order to get themselves well known. So the first thing to remember is the technology that's around us today is what we should hold on to, and we should again use the individuals to help us get there quicker than where we would be trying to work it out on our own.
Thank you. Tell us some strategies you have personally used for creating multiple income streams that other people can leverage right now.
Sure. Well, the best one, go to a company, smartbullionvault.com. This is not financial advice, anybody. This is purely for educational entertainment purposes. However, the price of gold and silver this year to this date is already up 15%. So what does that mean for an individual? Well, you can leave your money in a bank, who are probably going to give you 1 or 2% per year because they're making money out of your money. Or you can move into Smart Bullion Vault, open up a free account, move a small amount of cash in there, and within a very short space of time, you start making money. In fact, in the last 3 weeks since I've been in the Caribbean and come back, gold and silver prices have basically gone up by 5% each already. So 15% since the beginning of the year, 5% in the last 3 weeks. So if someone's looking to make free money, well, take that little bit of savings that you might have sitting in a savings account in the bank, go to Smart Bullion Vault, have a look at the charts of gold, confirm exactly what I'm saying. Again, this is not financial advice. I don't give direct financial advice. I just say to people, follow me if you want to make a lot of money. And there you are. If you're to put money into an account in January, you'll have 15% now. Now, what should you do with the 15%? Well, personally, I would leave it in there to compound for a year. Then, based on last year's figures, gold and silver was up nearly 25% last year. Imagine, I'll just use a bigger figure because it makes the numbers look good. Imagine somebody's able to get £100,000 from somewhere. Maybe they're left by an inheritance. Maybe they've sold a property and they don't know what to do with the money. Imagine taking £100,000, putting it into gold and silver last year, and then having £25,000 extra for this year to spend. In some people's cases, £25,000 is half of their annual salary, yet they've not had to do anything for the money. Then what do we do with the money? We look for other opportunities to invest that free cash, or what I call house cash. The £25,000 is house money given to us by the markets. And then we should look to utilise using a mentor for what is happening now is moving and shaking, where that £25,000 can be 4x'd, 5x'd, 10x'd, whatever it is someone needs to do. It's very much dependent on their circumstances, Lily.
Thank you. What are some good property strategies to invest the first 25k that you may accumulate?
Sure. Well, what I would say is if someone's made £25,000 and they need to work with a mentor that's going to help them get themselves on the property ladder, I am still one of the only UK mentors who puts his money where his mouth is. And when someone comes to me for property mentoring, I guarantee and give them £50,000 into their first project. So if someone pays for mentoring, I will put £50,000 to assist them. Because some people, they may well be paying a significant chunk into training and mentoring to take that shortcut to success, but it means that they've then dug into some of that money that they might need for refurbishment programs. So that's where the £50,000, and it's in a contract as well. It's not just me saying it to somebody on a phone call. It's there in writing in a service agreement that should they succeed and find a property that is going to be profitable, of course, we're not going to put £50,000 into a property that needs £200 million to refurbish, obviously. But if we find the right property based on my training, then they need some assistance to refurbish. Then that's where the funds come from to help them.
Thank you. Are there any specific property projects that you would typically find interesting to invest in right now? Are there any specific types of property projects or countries where they would invest?
Sure. We have a challenge in the United Kingdom at the moment where the cost of supplies and the cost of labour has escalated massively since 2022. And so the standard cost of a refurbishment, hence the £50,000 that I offer to assist individuals, should be enough to put a new kitchen, a new bathroom, carpets, curtains, and light decorating throughout. We are looking abroad. We have projects now in Portugal. I'm also looking at investing in France and also in Puerto Rico, which is one of the reasons I have some very good business friends who live in Puerto Rico. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, because I'm super excited to just come back from the Caribbean, who wouldn't be, and traveling around the islands, but more so meeting the individuals on the island of Puerto Rico, meeting the government officials who I'm now connected with, who are part of the San Juan Social Club, and being able to pick their brains about what we can do to put money into Puerto Rico in order to get amazing returns. We're looking at properties in Puerto Rico that were built just a couple of years ago for $300,000 and they're now worth $1.5 million. Those are the kinds of returns we're seeing abroad. We don't kind of have that here in the UK. So for individuals that have funds and are looking to do property, yes, there are still properties, of course, in the UK. I'm not saying that there are no properties, but the red tape and politics surrounding simple extensions and the change of use for property compared to abroad, for example, in Portugal, you can find a standard kind of four-room downstairs, four-room upstairs type of property. And you can split that completely in half to create two apartments, still on the same footprint. You can extend even. And there are no red tape or politics in the local area. The mayor of that area will be absolutely super delighted that you've decided to invest our hard-earned UK monies into their local town or city. No red tape. In the UK, there's red tape, there's backlog, there are challenges. Okay, you've got permitted developments, which allows us to do certain things up to a certain size. But you know what? I'd rather flip a house in Portugal within 6 months and make or double our money than end up being 12 months in the UK, potentially running close to the margin level. And even in some cases, from what I see online with people's UK projects, going over budget and working for 6 months for, £10,000 to £15,000. That is not a business. That is just another job.
How good is the opportunity of investing in a new build that is off plan, that is generally likely to go up in price as soon as the project is actually ready. I've seen some of these projects in the in London and also in Dubai, for example.
Sure. Well, Dubai, of course, and the UK are completely, for a start, as we know, they're two completely different countries. And Dubai has much more tax-saving opportunities than the UK. Last year alone, just and for people listening to this podcast, who knows, somebody could tune into it in 10 years' time. So just to put a timeline on that, in 2024, 10,000 high-net-worth individuals, millionaires and multimillionaires left the UK. Sold everything up and have left the UK. And UBS Bank have reckoned by 2028, that could be up to another 50,000 individuals leaving the UK. So because we're all going to tax-saving countries, you know, the UK is one of the highest tax countries in the Western society, and we don't seem to get value for money. So in terms of new build projects, the thing to always remember is the UK building market is not the same as it was. We have less national builders than we used to have. We have less skilled craftsmen in the UK. We also have the situation where when you buy a brand new property off plan as an investor, you're going to be paying over the odds anyway. It's baked into the price of purchase. If you are an individual buying a property, yes, you might be able to negotiate to have certain color tiles or a certain bathroom style or certain color carpets. But if you're somebody who's looking to invest in a new build, sure, you can go and buy one. I'm not saying to anybody that you can't go to a sales office and buy a house, but that isn't investing. That's just buying a house. We could walk into any estate agent right now, look at the 50, 60, 80 properties on their wall and make an offer on every single one of them. And for those that where you do negotiate, and that's the other thing about property investing, it's about learning how to sell and negotiate, then you may well get a deal. But with new build properties, Lily, the challenge we have in the UK is the price is baked in, so you're paying far too much. You're going to then have to charge a rent, which is quite high compared to other countries. And the individual, the last thing you want is somebody who's in a financial position where they can't pay that rent within 12 months or so, because the red tape and politics of the United Kingdom is such that in reality, a tenant could sit there for 2 to 3 years without paying rent before they are finally evicted. Now, there may be somebody listening to this saying, Mark, I know somebody on the television that gets rid of people from property very, very quickly. And yeah, you probably do. The challenge is it's down to an individual person and their circumstance. I've known clients who've had properties where they've given a standard notice for somebody to quit that property, and that person has gone to court and they've said to a judge, but I have two children and I can't find a property of this size and style in the local area where my children go to school. And the judge has sided with the tenant who hasn't paid their rent for 2 years. Meanwhile, my client is paying a mortgage on a house, can't sell the house to get rid of the property, has to pay the mortgage from other aspects of their business. And this is the kind of challenge we have, Lily, is that people are paying far too high a rent and the system is covering the tenants. Not that I'm suggesting for 1 minute, because there will be people who are probably renting property on this on your podcast. I'm not saying for 1 minute that tenants should be removed from their home. I actually set up a company, two companies actually, one called Property Lotto, one called Community Lotto, to help individuals win funds to pay down their mortgage or pay their landlord, you know, kind of 10 years worth of rent. So I'm very much for the human. However, we're talking about business and making money, and I do not believe at this current time that investing in new build property in the UK is a way to look to make money.
Thank you. Is that not even the case when, let's say, the project, let's say you invest $1.5 million and then at the end of the project, the property is worth $2 million and then you can actually sell it? Is that still not a good idea?
Well, the challenge to remember, of course, is who says it's worth $2 million? We all know the property crashes. I was in a property crash way, way back when I bought. I was lucky, my very first house I bought cash when I was 18 years of age. It's another story. We might touch on that later. We've seen many property crashes over the years. And all of a sudden, when the property market crashes, the same people that just said to you, oh, it's worth $2 million, now say that it's not worth $2 million, including the surveyors and including the estate agents. And I always laugh at those individuals. I don't mean in a horrible way. I just kind of chuckle because, you know, 1 minute someone's knocking on your door saying, yeah, this is a $2 million property. And 6 months later, they're like, oh, no, it's only $1.5 million. And then you're kind of like, well, I put $1.5 million into it. And then they just look at you. It's not their challenge. Money is controlled by the money markets. And what high net worth individuals do is we look at where the money is being made, not speculatively, but currently. And we drive that forward to make as much money. somebody, if they have £1.5 million and they wish to invest, I would give them possibly three other directions to invest that money in, rather than that thought of, I'll put £1.5 million in and I've been told I'll get £2 million at the other end. What happens if the builder that's doing your work goes bankrupt? What happens if his builders walk off the job because they get £1 an hour more to work for the builder down the road? Who's going to finish the project then? What happens if you've got bridging finance as well? Or what happens if you need to get bridging finance? There's all these other challenges that come into our business, Lily, that can affect that particular scale. If you're going to go into seven-figure projects, you need to be holding eight-figure money as a reserve.
Thank you. For people that want to only invest in the UK and USA, what kind of projects would you think are still available and feasible in the current market?
Sure. Well, you've always got low-cost housing. You know, there are always going to be elements of society who are not career individuals, they're not business owners. So that low-cost social housing is a way forward. But of course, in the UK, we've seen a lot of that swallowed up recently, without going too political about the situation. But one only has to, you know, watch the news, which I don't watch the news. I'd rather look at an X.com and see what's on the feed. But we can kind of see what's happening across the UK. But we should always look after individuals who are less fortunate than ourselves, but who also contribute to society. So low-cost housing is good. High-end markets, well, we've covered that when you mentioned Dubai earlier. You know, that's where all the money is going to. However, you only have to look at Dubai and how that's manifested itself in the last 15, 20 years to ask yourself the question, is that a place where I would like to live? Or is that a place where I'd like to live and bring up a family? You know, just the nature of the city. It's kind of Las Vegas in the desert is how I look at it. But certainly low-cost housing is still a way to invest. You buy yourself, maybe secure yourself a hotel and convert the hotel into, you know, small flatlets. Most of the plumbing is still there. You know, you've got your bedroom, you've got communal areas, you have, you know, the bathroom areas. Finding something like that and convert where you can help potentially single individuals. You know, there's a lot of homeless individuals, both males and females, that are living on our streets roughly and being looked after by Christian charities in the UK. So helping an individual like that get back on their feet and help them and, you know, make them feel that they are worth, you know, they have something to contribute to society. They may just be a little bit lost, especially in today's market.
Thank you. For people who want to start living like a digital nomad and invest in the country they're living in, which country would you say is a good investment to start looking into and why?
So again, I've covered with Portugal, for example, you know, the housing red tape is a lot less. If we look at Puerto Rico as a country, Puerto Rico has had itself, it is a territory of the United States. That's the first thing to remember. So they get taxed by the federal government, but they don't necessarily get the support by the federal government when they require it. The interesting thing with Puerto Rico is it's on the, excuse me again, I'm still going to dry throat from the Caribbean, everybody. Please bear with me. I do apologize. So Puerto Rico is still on the same planet as ourselves. Obviously, it's just another landmass on the other side of the world. However, you have to ask yourself the question, how can they have the amazing beaches, the amazing sun, all the infrastructure that you'd need, gas, water, electricity, et cetera, obviously solar power. And yet, when you live in that country, your income tax that you pay is only 4%. Consider that over in the UK, where we're paying 60%. And we ask us, well, I don't ask myself the question why we're looking to invest elsewhere. That's just a non-starter. Even for a regular individual with a regular job, you know, earning 60, 80,000 a year, they're going to be into the 30% of tax, plus national insurance and all the rest of it, plus companies that are being taxed to death. And that's why we're losing, you know, hundreds of companies a month, as well as public houses, for example. 37 public houses are still closing down every week. There was a big thing years ago about turning public houses into property. But you know what? I'd rather have a local community pub where people can get together and have a social life and discuss the matters of the day, which is another slightly political statement of why they close the pubs down. They don't want people getting together and discussing the matters of the day. They want everyone shut up at home and just doing as they're told. So we go abroad and we enjoy the investments. We enjoy the sunshine. Puerto Rico's 4% income tax. Now, let's say you go to Puerto Rico and you want to create a business, a building business. You're going to build some property to help the local inhabitants rebuild their island because they were not supported after Hurricane Maria by the federal government. So you go over there and you meet the government officials, which is what I'm doing in my friends networking group in Puerto Rico, and you start a business. Now, after 12 months, you may decide to take out dividends from your business. Though we know in the UK you can do that. As a director, you can take dividends from your company. But when you take dividends from your company, you're also taxed, probably 40% on those dividends. In Puerto Rico, your tax on the dividends that you take, 0% income tax. So all you've paid is 4% on your salary that you've taken for the year. You might want to take out $200,000-$300,000 in the first year. But at the end of the first year, you've made $1 million profit and you take $1 million in dividends. You pay 0% tax. Then you think to yourself, okay, this is going really well. I'm investing in the island. I'm building these properties. We're renting them out or we're selling them on for low-cost housing. I'm going to exit my company. I'm going to 10x my company, which is what a lot of my American friends do with their businesses. We don't tend to do that here in the UK. The big thing in America and why you've got so many more billionaires in America is because they're very good at working with their friends and having VC companies come in and buy your portfolio, which 10x's your exit. So then you think, okay, well, I've built my business and I'm selling it and I'm 10x-ing it. In the UK, you would have capital gains tax to pay because you've built your business. And the tax office says, well, congratulations for working 23 hours a day, 7 days a week, sir. We're now going to tax you at this high rate of tax. There is no capital gains tax in Puerto Rico, Lily. So why do I share that in a long-winded two-minute, three-minute story? Is because it just proves to everybody you don't have to just look at the area where you live to invest. You need to work with people who have contacts around the globe who can make your money work smarter for you, not harder for you. Yes, you can do projects in the UK. Yes, you're going to pay a lot of tax. And ultimately, along with inheritance tax, you're going to potentially not be able to leave as much to your loved ones as you wanted to leave.
Thank you. For those investing in property in the UK, what's the best and fastest way to find renters? And the reason I ask you this is because before Brexit, I remember having maybe 120 leads a day, and it was so easy. Like, people were texting me all day long, and from like 8 in the morning until 2 a.m., I was like just answering messages in WhatsApp and renting, you know, like renting properties. And it was like so easy. And it was so easy that I was actually choosy about, okay, this person can move on Friday. And then there's like 10 people that can move Wednesday. Okay, I'll choose the Wednesday. And then if someone had to leave, I would find someone like so quickly that I had virtually no vacancy. And post Brexit, what I noticed, like, I was still renting, but I had a little bit of vacancy. And then I had massive vacancy during the pandemic. So I'm wondering what has happened differently in terms of like renters. Where are the renters now, and how are you currently finding renters for your properties in the UK?
Sure. So we're very fortunate that our tenants stay with us. We don't have a massive churn at all. But to answer your question directly, spareroom.co.uk was one of the biggest platforms that we were using for many years. When I did short-term projects, I did a project, oh, it's over 10 years ago now, but I went to an area in Worcestershire called Redditch, and I was teaching people how to do lease options, how to take control of properties. It was just after 2008, so you had that big boom and bust era. There were people that couldn't afford their executive houses, and I took on a load of executive properties and showed people how to furnish them, how to have white collar workers in there. And one of our biggest clients at the time was Halfords, the garage forecourt company, because Halfords head office is in Redditch. And so by using Spare Room, we were able to just fill up all the rooms. I'd basically take a four-bedroom executive house, turn it into a small HMO, all for executives, and, you know, have the cleaners go in, et cetera, and do all the legwork, which most tenants don't want to do. Now, the challenge is once the it wasn't so much Brexit for us, it was more when the lockdown period came and people stopped moving around so freely. You would have people that would work in one place and work for the same company, but go and rent somewhere else and move around the country. There was this kind of whole malaise that crept into the UK where people kind of want to hang on to what they've got now. They don't want to move as much. And we know that a lot of properties, including hotels and large private guest houses, have been rented out to the migrants issue that's continuing to continue within the UK. That's for somebody else to sort, not me. I'm no longer in politics. I used to be in politics, but that's another story for another day. But ultimately, Spare Room was the platform we used. You've also got, of course, social media platforms. There are a lot of groups on Facebook, for example, where people are looking for properties in certain areas. Not really the best way to go, because you may have a group of, whatever, 1,000 people in the area where you are, but that doesn't mean to say that they're very, you know, very good or decent tenants. And you've also got the, you know, the chatter and the noise that's continuing in those groups. So it is a challenge to find a good platform to find good tenants. But what I would say is when you find a good tenant, what the landlord should do or landlady should do is look after those tenants. Go over and above the next possible property that they're thinking of moving to. That includes repairs. You know, we have challenges with repairs on rented properties in the UK. There are many shows on the TV that are probably still around. Rogue Landlords and all those kind of programs that used to be around in the days when I used to watch TV. As I said, I don't watch TV anymore. TV is not for the people that want to make a lot of money in their life. Forget TV.
Thank you. Tell us, what other multiple income streams strategies are there for entrepreneurs to leverage so they can start creating wealth?
Sure. Well, one of the biggest things that I train nowadays, I created a public product, which was launched a year and a half ago, is day trading. So we don't do anything to do with Forex. We're not talking Forex and we're not talking crypto. They're two different industries. We're talking straightforward day trading of stocks on the NASDAQ and the NYSE stock market, trading for, you know, 2 to 3 days a week and pulling out anywhere, well, five-figure sums. Who knows who's listening to this podcast? I'm not going to tell everybody what we're making. You'd have to be on the inside of the group. But my win rate for my clients, and these are figures that they're quite happy to share with individuals, are win rates of 76 and 82%. I have a very simple system. It doesn't cost a lot of money to go into day trading. People kind of think, oh, stocks and shares are all over the place and the market's plunged because they're watching the news and they're hearing that the market's plunged. Well, isn't that a good time to buy when things are cheap? People forget that, and that's why they need to find a business mentor that can steer them in the right direction. But day trading can certainly springboard somebody's wealth, Lily, from, you know, only having £500 available. Maybe they've got £1,000 available. It is very easy in a strategy. And again, this is not financial advice. This is purely for education based on what we're doing. It's very easy to take £1,000 today and turn that into £2,000 within a very few hours on the same day. Day trading is about getting in and out. We're not investing. We're not reading all the technical data on the Financial Times, the little pink sheet, looking to see which stocks we're going to hold on to long term. That's a different strategy. That's why I mentioned earlier about gold and silver. That is a long-term strategy.
Thank you. So are entrepreneurs copying what you're doing, or what's a good way for them to reduce risk?
Well, risk management in day trading is very important. It's one of the biggest things that I bang on about all the time with individuals. Some people that I meet have tried day trading and they've lost a lot of money. Recently on the cruise I was on, I spoke to two American guys who have also tried day trading in the past. But the people that tend to lose money are those that use algorithms and bots. You know, people, there's plenty of Facebook ads and many on other social media platforms, but everyone's got a Facebook account, I believe, nowadays. So on Facebook, you'll see these little ads that pop up and say, you know, use our algorithm, use our bot, $7, $49, whatever it might be. The challenge is we don't use those and we make money. The bots will empty your bank account 99.9% of the time. But my risk management, which is built in and baked into what I train, because I train live. That's the thing to remember. There's a membership site with training, step-by-step training, and there's also myself trading live. So when I'm trading live saying, guys, we've spotted this one, we're in it. It's not trading advice. It's not financial advice. It's educational purposes only. But for those that wish to follow those trades, they can make money. If we make a loss, we make a very small loss because I'm very strict on risk management. And the thing to remember is that a stock can only go one of three ways. That's why it's such an easy business to go into. It can either go up, down, or sideways. So as a business direction, you've got one of three opportunities to make money, because we also make money when a stock price falls, and that's called shorting for those that are listening in, because there might be somebody saying, yes, Mark, that's called shorting. So there we are. We know what we're doing. So we make money when a stock goes up. We make money when a stock goes down. And if we're watching a stock, it goes sideways, and that'll do for us. We don't jump in and out of trades just for the sake of it.
Thank you. What are the top ways for entrepreneurs to leverage AI to create wealth with multiple income streams, not including, for example, creating a website or content management or cutting videos into bits or, you know, posting on social media? I'm not referring to that. Is there any other way to leverage AI to actually generate money for you?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing with AI, Lily, is that always remember that making money doesn't necessarily mean about physically doubling your money. Making money can be by saving money. So why not cut the cost of your customer support staff when you can get an AI avatar now to run the whole of your customer service department? There are many AI softwares out there which allow you to do that. Yes, you have to put the information in because it has to know about your business. Yes, you have to have the prompts available so it gets used to the questions that are being asked. But pretty much the beauty of AI is when you let it loose and when you let it become available to the public, it starts to learn from the questions. It remembers the questions. Very much like ChatGPT. I have lots of conversations with individuals with ChatGPT, and they'll always say to me, oh yeah, when I log in, I start a new conversation. And I'm like, but you had the conversation earlier. You already mentioned whatever the topic was, that you'd had a conversation with ChatGPT. Yeah, but I wanted to ask it a different question. But you have to remember, if you leave that thread open, it has that as a singular conversation in its memory. So it's learning all the time from the same topic and the same subject. You know, things like that were never available. You know, either that I was on a phone call with somebody or there was no phone call being made. Nowadays, you can have an AI avatar that can handle multiple incoming phone calls at the same time to a single phone number and answer all of your customers' questions. It's an incredible way to save money. Again, I'm not on about putting people out of a job. I think the thing with the world and the planet is that as we advance as humans, jobs move. Jobs will move from people that used to answer the telephone to now being the people behind the scenes who are creating some part of that AI business, whether it's working in the factory creating the chips or whether it's the person that becomes a coder now. We all have, you know, the lads and girls nowadays are much younger coders than they were even when I was at school. So there's a massive shift in where the energy is being placed on the planet, and I think it's for the better.
Thank you. Tell us your top 10 commandments for creating wealth from multiple income streams.
Top 10, that implies I have to remember where I'm starting, doesn't it, really? Let me just work through a list, as I've covered some of these already. Number one is work on yourself. Number two is invest in yourself. Number three is the mindset. Number four is the strategy. Number five is having a mentor. That will give you a blueprint. From the blueprint, then, you need to be open. You then need to be, number eight, coachable. You then need to be, number nine, actionable. And the 10th one is you will make wealth if you follow those steps.
Thank you. Tell us some of your case studies, aside from what you already mentioned, of people who have worked with you and have had positive results investing in property or investing in other products.
Sure. Well, I do a lot of commercial industry turnarounds. I'm just trying to phrase it the right way for the listeners. So I quite often will get called into large corporate businesses that are failing. Because I was named the business builder by the media probably 28 years ago or so, I do step into companies. And as I said right back at the beginning, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I am someone's cup of tea if they want to make some money and cut through the wheat and chaff. And I'm able to do that for commercial companies. So within that sort of 38 years of business building in total, from when I had my first business right the way through to having multiple businesses today, I still on occasions get called in to run projects for companies. And some of those projects have secured them 25, 50 million paying contracts with the NHS. There is another company I've worked with recently. I can't tell you the company, but they did release a news release yesterday. They have just been bought. In fact, I can say it because it is public knowledge now. They have just been bought by DHL, the international cargo company. So that's another part of an involvement in a business. Obviously, when you work in multi-million pound businesses, it's not that you're the top dog and it's all down to you. There is a whole team behind. But the overview that I put into those companies, the systems that I bring, the sort of the shakeup of the staff to get people in the right positions, because that's quite often why most jobs and companies fail. People have just been recruited into the wrong jobs because the individuals that did the interview really didn't know how to get the best out of the individual. There's a lot of that that goes on. There's a lot of human resources in big corporate companies now that actually run the company. It's not even operations or sales and marketing. The human resources are like, you can't say that, you can't do this, you must do this, you must do that. It was a company I fixed 6 years ago now in an area of South Wales. And it was exactly the same. They were being run by human resources. And actually, me being a people person, once you get the people around the table and you have a conversation with them and they're kind of like, well, I'm doing this job over here, but I want to do this job. And you speak to this person here who doesn't like this job and they want to do that job. Well, we know you just simply swap the people and then the job gets done and everyone's happy and you have a happy factory and people work better. Unfortunately, human resources in today's society drag you down. It's kind of like, well, no, you can't move them like that, Mr. Walker, because they have to have 3 months consultation and you have to have letters. I'm like, I'm trying to run the business here to save the business. I've done it. You sort the paperwork out. And then when the paperwork's done, we all know it's going to just sit in that filing cabinet over there. And that's the thing, Lily, for everybody out there listening to your podcast who wants to become an entrepreneur, work for yourself, make your own decisions and make your money. And don't be sidetracked by distractions and shiny objects.
Thank you. What are the top 10, I mean, okay, not top 10. Okay, what are the top mistakes that entrepreneurs make when creating wealth with multiple streams of income?
Well, the first thing is not having a good accountant who can tell you the best place. You know, we all have to pay tax. We know this. However, why should we pay more tax than we need to? People pay more tax than they need to because they don't understand there are tax creative systems and strategies out there. People often say that the wealthy become wealthier. Well, we do, but it's only because we pay the tax we need to pay, and then we make sure we invest in other products, and those other products might create more jobs. So those people are creating more tax for their local area. Or it might be that we put money into a system which enables us to create more money from what would have been given away in tax because we didn't have to pay tax in the first place. So that's the very first thing. Make sure you have an accountant, or indeed a number of accountants. Like I covered earlier, how can we go to Puerto Rico and only have to pay 4% tax? How can we go and set up a company in Dubai with a 0% tax in certain cases? There is a tax to pay, of course, but there's many cases, yeah, it's a 0% income tax. In the UK, it's different. So you have to look at why is it different in the UK? And what can we do as an individual residing in the UK to pay the right amount of tax, which will then save us money and enable us to invest in other systems, schemes, properties, or opportunities?
Thank you. What is the key to your success, and what drives you?
So the key to my success is I've always been an open person. You know, I've always been open to, if something doesn't work, just saying, hey, that didn't work, let's all move on. And if something works, really talk about it to the, you know, the nth degree, such as the cruise. Did I tell you I've been to the Caribbean recently, Lily? Have I mentioned that at all on your podcast? You know, the people that I met on this year's cruise, 251 of us last year, sounds like a big number on the cruise. 458 of us this year on the cruise. Now, these cruise ships hold 2,700 passengers. You're not falling over each other every day. There were many times I was on the top deck and there was nobody else on there. But in order of how do you get to know what's going on the planet, you have to network with the people that are moving and shaking. As I said earlier, buying a book, watching YouTube, scrolling through Twitter, scrolling through Facebook. Yeah, that's something to do whilst you have a cup of coffee. But if you really want to make money, you've got to network with the people that are moving and shaking. Hence the reason I've already signed up for next year's cruise. It's actually a very good friend of mine who organises the cruise. By the way, it's not just a Virgin Voyages cruise. My friend Davin Michaels, who's a very well-known global entrepreneur, he was the guy who kind of established virtual assistants. He had a company called 123 Employee. He's now exited that company. They were actually sold out to another company where I think they have 7,500 VAs now working in that company. But Davin was in music and music production through the 80s and 90s. Our teenage years, although there's a couple of years actual age difference between Davin and myself, only a couple. I'm the better looking one, of course. but his whole life and what he built around himself within the electronic dance music era, he's coveted with the guy that created EDM dance nights out of New York, you know, going from running small club venues of a couple of hundred people to 20 and 30,000 people on a single night in a club environment. You know, the guy's got a wealth of experience. He has a wealth of contacts. I met him 16 years ago. Why would I not want somebody like that as a friend with the amount of contacts that he has? So people have to network and get to know, like, and trust the person who they wish to emulate. And then at some point from emulating that person, they find their own path and they go off and become uber successful.
Thank you. How can investors and potential mentees reach out to you?
Really, the best thing is through social media. You know, my Facebook account is 18 years old. My LinkedIn account this year was 21 years old. Just think that. My LinkedIn account is older than some of the customer service staff that work for LinkedIn. So either of those two platforms are perfectly acceptable for somebody who's watched your podcast, and hopefully, you know, they've gained some valuable knowledge and insights. It's about taking action. You remember I said a few minutes ago, people have to be open, they have to be coachable, and they have to be actionable. They have to have one of those three things. Now, I can get that out of some people, you know, but if you are somebody who's very closed-minded, who finds themselves saying no to everything they're watching on the screen or listening to, if they are not open, then they're not coachable. And if they're not coachable, they're probably not going to take action. And for those that take action, they become successful to whatever level of success as well. Not everybody wants to be a multimillionaire. Money scares people quite often. And I one of the first things I do when I do one of my open days, and I do a couple of open days every year, Christmas time and around about the middle of summer, where I get, you know, I put an offer out and say, hey, come to one of my business clubs around the UK. This is where we'll be this time. And these are big old business clubs. These are established kind of private members clubs. Nice environment, nice food, nice people, relaxed away from the high street. And I say to people, look, don't worry about money. If you're only used to earning 20,000 a year or 50,000 a year or 100,000 or 1 million, they're just zeros at the end of that number. Always remember that, Lily, yeah? Just take the zeros away. So a million, take all the zeros away, still one. It could be £1. Same with 100,000, take the zeros away, you're left with one. People need to focus on a product or a service and a niche and a need that is wanted by society. If you can find the want, you can fulfill it. That's their need. Our need is to fulfill product or service with a strategy, a system, and a blueprint makes money. And that's it. And that's why some people's startups go off in the first year and they make 50,000, and some people's startups take off and they make 50 million.
Thank you. Stay tuned for the next episode. Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.